Tonight's lesson is titled, How Strong is Your Faith? As the title of our sermon suggests, we are going to be looking at and examining how strong our faith is in God. I would suggest that, first of all, before we could ever begin to determine how strong our faith is, that we need to learn a few things about faith itself. And one of the first things that I would suggest that we need to learn about faith is, where does it come from? The Bible makes it clear exactly what the source of our faith is. Notice what Paul says here in Romans 10 and verse 13. It says, For whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Based on what Paul has taught us here, he's teaching us in order for us to have faith in anything that you must believe in. It's believing in something. And he specifically tells us that in order for us to be able to believe in God and to be able to know what it is to be able to become saved, that we must hear his word. The word of God, therefore, is the foundation of our faith. And it is also the source at how we find out how to be saved. Notice, Paul exclaims this in Romans 1 and verse 16. It says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. You know, we are very fortunate today. We have easy access to the word of God. It is easy for us to be able to go to it and to find out what we need to know. And we can find out everything that we need to know to live a Christian life and to find the kind of faith that we need to have by looking toward it. As Paul tells Timothy here in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. It says, All scripture is given by inspiration to God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This teaches us that faith in God is not simply based upon some emotion or some feeling that we have. No, instead, it can and it must be grounded and rooted within the Word of God. Unfortunately, there are many in the religious world that do not understand this basic principle of faith. Instead, what they do is they go around and they say, Well, I feel like that this is right, or they do something in their worship service that's contrary to the Word of God, and again, they'll justify it by saying, I feel in my heart of hearts that I'm doing something right, that I'm just right with God, and this is okay with Him. Well, friends, I guarantee you that this is not the kind of faith that God is going to be pleased with. Because as we examine our faith, the source of it comes from the Word of God. And if we are simply doing things based upon the way we feel, then we can justify just about anything in our life. Any type of thing that's contrary to the Word of God. So it's important that our faith be based up and grounded upon the Word of God. Jesus makes this very clear in Matthew 7 and verse 21. It says, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to you, or declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. As Paul states in Ephesians 4, 5, there is just one faith. And that one faith is an obedient faith to God's word. This is also the same kind of faith that we see talked about in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. It says, But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Notice he only rewards those who diligently seek him. This is someone that is actively trying to do what God has asked them to do. This has to do with an obedient faith. And that's exactly what we must have today. And so this is one way that we can determine how strong we are in our faith. We can see how well or how poorly we are obeying God's commands and how much we trust in the things that it says and the promises that God has made to us within his word. Another thing that we learn about faith is that some have a weak faith, and then some have learned to have a very strong faith. And the Bible is full of examples of people like this. In fact, we have a great example with Jesus and his chosen 12. Many times as they were going along with him, even though they saw the miracles and the signs that he was doing, sometimes they were weak in their faith, and Jesus rebuked them for this. Let's look at this one instance here, as we see in Matthew 8 in verse 23. It says, "Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we are perishing.' But he said to them, 'Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?' Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." See, it's just amazing that these men had seen all the things that Jesus was capable of doing. But in this instance, this tempest that came in, this big storm that rolled in, it scared them. They began to get fearful, and they began to lose their faith in God and the trust that they would be taken care of. And so Jesus, he reminds them, he points this out to them and says, "Oh, you have little faith." We see that Jesus was sleeping and that how fearful these people were. But Jesus, he wants them to understand that they should not be so weak in their faith. See, the problem with having a weak faith is that the person has not fully learned to trust in God. And whenever you have a very weak faith that makes you susceptible to worldly influences, it's going to be easy for you to be drawn away by false doctrines. And so we must be very careful about how strong our faith is. We know that these 12 chosen men, or with the exception of Judas, that from the day of Pentecost on, that they became very strong and bold within the faith. Because from the day of Pentecost on, they remained faithful to God and they did great things for the cause of Christ as they boldly proclaimed the Word of God. We also have an example in the book of Hebrews of some Christians that were not growing as they should. They were remaining weak in their faith. We can read about this in Hebrews 5, starting in verse number 12. It says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance for dead works and the faith toward God, of doctrines of baptism and laying on hands, of resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment." Here we find some Christians who have become stagnant in their faith. They should have been growing. He points out that you should be teachers by now. But that wasn't the case. They had decided just to be stagnant. They had not grown. And so they were still in these basic principles of Christianity. This is a great way for us to determine how strong our faith is. We need to ask ourselves questions as we examine our life to find out if we are satisfied with where we are. That's what we need to ask ourselves. Are you satisfied with your current knowledge of the Word of God? And are you doing something, trying at least to the smallest degree to try to learn more about God's Word so that you can share it to others? Friends, I don't care how much you think you know about God's Word, there's always more that you can learn. But if you have this mentality that you're satisfied with where you're at, then I can promise you this is the beginning of a weak faith. And no matter how great your knowledge may be at this point, if you continue to do this, you're going to get weaker and weaker in your faith, and it's going to make it to where you're going to end up putting your soul in jeopardy. And this brings us to our next point of why is it important for us to have a strong faith. I think we all know the answer to this question. Even people in the world could answer this question, because they know that if you're going to be committed to something and you're going to remain in it, that you have to have faith in it, that you have to be diligently seeking after it. Because if you just have kind of believe in something or have a half-hearted attempt or trying to do whatever it is that you're involved in, it's going to be easy for you to have your faith or your belief broken. This same principle applies to the Word of God. If we do not put our whole heart, our soul, and our mind into the Word of God, into serving Him and showing love toward Him, then it's going to make it easy for us to be prey to all those that are around us, make it easy for us to fall away. That's why Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3:18, he says, "Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Again, we come right back to the source of our faith, the Word of God. If we do not spend time studying God's Word and living by it, again, it's going to make it so much easier for us to not ever know what we're supposed to do or how to deal with certain situations. It's going to make it easier for people to influence us and cause us to go down the wrong path. And so we must be very careful. We cannot ever expect to be strong in the faith if we do not have a clue what the Word of God says. Now in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul teaches us about the importance of unity and also using our knowledge of God so that we can stand strong and not be swayed by every wind of doctrine that comes along. I want you to notice what he says here in Ephesians 4 and verse 11. So then he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Now I want to stop here for just a second, because Paul is letting these people know that whenever they come to the unity of faith, which I believe is talking about the fully revealed Word of God, that once they are grounded within the Word of God, that there should be no reason why they should be just drawn away by every man-made doctrine that comes along, because they are going to be rooted and grounded within the Word of God. Notice what else he says as we continue in verse 15. It says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to works all or work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. This is why it's so important that we learn to be strong in the faith, because it tells us very clearly that we are to grow up in all things. It talks about how we are to grow in our faith. Being a Christian is a daily walk. It's when we take up our cross daily and we follow after Christ and we try to increase our faith in Him every day by studying His Word, by being faithful in our prayer life as well. Because if we do not do this, we'll just stay right where we are and we'll never get beyond where we are today. And every Christian should be wanting to learn as much as they can about God and wanting to increase and try to grow close as they can to God. Because if we do not do this, it'll be easy for us to be swayed and to go back to our former life. The writer of Hebrews warns us what happens whenever we neglect the source of our faith in Hebrews 2 and verse number 1. He says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, described in. If we continue to be satisfied with a half-hearted attitude of serving God, if we continue to just not wanting to grow, we just want to stay where we're at, then we're going to be in danger of drifting away from God, just as the Hebrew writer has said here. We also notice it says that if you do this, if you neglect the Word of God, it says, how in the world will you ever escape the salvation? How and ever will you ever escape from losing your soul is basically what it is saying in this passage. But on the flip side of this, if we are strong in the faith, we are going to have confidence in our salvation. We are going to be assured because we know that we're trying. We know that we're working toward God. And we're going to have the confidence that we can be saved, just as Paul had that same confidence in his life. Notice what he tells the Philippian brethren in Philippians 1 and verse 1 and verse 23. It says, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. As you can see, he had confidence that if he left at that point, that he would be with Christ, that he would be where he needs to be. And we can see from scriptures, I have never been able to find a place where Paul ever doubted his salvation. He was always confident of it. And he was also confident for others. He knew that if other people were faithful, that they too would be saved. And he expresses this toward the end of his life in a very, very familiar passage to us. 2 Timothy 4, verse number 7. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And so we can see that these words, that we can take confidence if we have a strong faith, knowing that we are saved. Now that we've seen the importance of having a strong faith, now I want to talk about some reasons of why some people have, or some Christians have, a difficulty in developing a strong faith. First thing I would suggest, I personally believe, is that they did not count the cost of discipleship. You know, they hear this wonderful message about this loving God and how he loves us and how he wants us to be saved. And they see that the things that they need to do, and they may go ahead and do that. They may go ahead and be baptized into Christ and the remission of their sins. But that's as far as they want to go. They don't want to go any further. They don't want to know about any more of the details. And since they don't invest their time in growing, it just simply doesn't become important to them. And so they never ever want to go to that next step. They never want to get to the point where they become stronger in their faith. You know, Jesus talks about people like this that did not count the cost of discipleship, as we see here in Luke 14 and verse 26. It says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first to consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a greater way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Now, first of all, I want to point out that Jesus here is not saying that we must hate our fathers and mothers in order to be a disciple in the way that we're thinking. Whenever you look at the whole counsel of God and the other accounts, what he's saying here is that we must put him above everyone else. We must put him above our family. God is our first priority in our life. And whenever it becomes our number one priority, you can see that there can become situations where there's going to be great personal sacrifice. Because sometimes a loved one is not going to agree with the way that we're living our life, because we're living it for God. And sometimes we may have to go against what they want. Also, there may be hobbies or things that we used to do that we really enjoy. But again, those hobbies or whatever it was that they were, if they were sinful, or if they were keeping us from being able to be able to worship with our brethren, then these are things that we have to set to the side. We have to sacrifice those things and either choose a different day to do them, or if they're sinful, just you got to stop doing them altogether. And so there's a great sacrifice that comes to being a follower of Christ. And some people are just not willing to do this, so they never try to become stronger in their faith. Another reason some never grow is because of doubt. In their mind, they want to believe the Word of God, and they kind of believe it, but they, because of the way maybe they were raised or some background information, they have some doubts, and so they never want to grow anymore. Well, I really wish people that had this mentality that they would really investigate those doubts. Try to study them out, because I feel confident that if they studied them, they would see that their doubts were unwarranted, and then they would be able to grow. But until they do that, they're still going to have a weak faith. Another reason that some never grow is because they have a lack of trust in God. Some Christians want to be in full control of their lives. They want to have control of every aspect, and they don't want help from anybody, including God. Now, sometimes they'll get in a desperate situation to where they can't figure out how to do it on their own, and then they'll finally ask God or rely upon Him for some help. But you see, the problem is they have never learned to trust in God. This type of Christian is someone that's prideful, and they think that they can do it all themselves. They haven't learned to give themselves fully over to God. And until they do that, until they are able to set their pride aside and to put their lives into God's hands, they are going to remain to be and have a weak faith. How I wish that they would learn to trust in God, as David expresses here in Psalm 143 in verse number 8. It says, "Cause me to hear your love kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you." Of course, there are many other factors that keep Christians from becoming strong in the faith. But until these Christians are willing to make the commitment to serve God and to study God's Word, again, they're going to continue to remain weak in the faith. Now, for our last point this evening, I want to ask you a series of questions that will help us to determine how strong our faith is in God. Our first question is, do you base your faith on a gut feeling, or do you base it up on the Word of God? Well, we talked about this a little bit earlier. If we base our faith upon a gut feeling, and we say in our heart of hearts, "I believe that this is okay, and that God's going to be okay with that," then that opens the door for anything. For instance, something that many of us would abhor, if an active homosexual had their life partner and they had them together, if with this mentality of saying, "If it's in the heart of my heart, I think it's okay," well, that person and that relationship could say, "Well, I think God wants me to be in this relationship. I think it's okay for me." That's why we have to be careful. The only way that we can have a strong faith that's going to be acceptable to God is if it's grounded and rooted within the Word of God. Our second question, how much time do you spend studying God's Word during any given week? We need to remember, again, this is the source of our faith. And everything that we need to know about living the Christian life and having the right kind of faith is found within the Word of God. So it's very important that we take time out of our busy lives and we study God's Word. We feed our spiritual soul with it so that we can continue to grow. But those who choose to neglect God's Word, who don't ever open up the Bible, don't ever look at it, don't ever meditate upon it, they cannot possibly have a strong faith. Look at our next question. How often do you pray? If we only pray once a week or whenever the mood hits us, can we possibly say that we have a very strong faith? Of course we can't. You know, whenever we have a weak prayer life, when we don't pray to God as we should, this is an indication that we don't love God and we don't trust Him as much as we should. Because those who only pray whenever they need to are only thinking about themselves. And we have to be careful that we don't get wrapped up in that. If we have a strong faith and we know what God has done for us, how much He loves us and everything that He does for us, boy, we're going to want to talk to God. We're going to want to tell Him about things. And we can't use the excuse to say, "Well, I don't want to pray for anything in my life. I don't need anything." Because we have so many more things to pray about than for ourselves. We can pray for others. We can also thank God every day for the blessings that we have in our life, the houses, our cars. You know, I'm just reminded of sometimes whenever Summer, my youngest daughter, whenever she would say a prayer, she would go on and on about naming all kinds of oddball things that you wouldn't think of in her prayer. And some of the things she said, she would thank God for our sidewalk. And so, I mean, there's all kinds of things that we can be thankful for in our prayer life. And so if we have a weak prayer life, again, I don't see how we could be very strong in the faith. Our next question, question number 4, is do you have confidence in your salvation? Well, if you're strong in the faith, you know you're doing what you can, that you're working toward God, you're going to have that confidence. You're going to know that if you die today, that you would be saved. But if you hesitated when I asked that question, maybe your faith isn't quite where it needs to be. Maybe there's still some work that you need to do. Because we should all be able to have the same confidence that Paul did. We should all be able to know that we are, whether we are saved or whether we are lost. Our next question is do you resist peer pressure and say no? Sometimes when we get around loved ones or young children get around other children, they try to coerce them into doing something sinful. Those who are of a weak faith, they will just go ahead and go along with the flow. And they'll go ahead and do whatever everybody else is doing, even though they know it's wrong. But someone that is strong in the faith, they will stand up against that, even though it's difficult, and they will resist saying, "No, I'm not going to be a part of that." Our sixth question, has to do whenever Paul, he went around all the different areas. He went around and he made this statement in Acts 26 and verse 20. He said, told the people that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. So the question is, are you willing to work for the Lord? Are you willing to participate in events that will lead people to Christ? Are you willing to learn more so that you can teach others around you? And are you willing to talk to those like at your workplace or to reach out to the lost? You know, if we have a strong faith and we love God, we're going to put our faith and trust in Him and know that we can get out there and try new things. We may not have certain talents or certain abilities, but we can learn different things. We can try. And whenever we put God into our life and allow Him to direct our pathway, and we pray for wisdom and we ask Him for help, I really believe that there's many things that we can, new things that we can learn, and we can have the confidence to do these different things. But someone that has a weak faith, they could care less. All they're worried about are themselves, basically, and they don't really care about reaching out to others. And our final question this evening is, do you attend the church service faithfully? Again, someone that is strong in the faith, they're going to be a person that's going to make it to every Bible study, every worship service that they possibly can, because they love God and they want to learn as much as they can about Him. They love being around their brothers and sisters and being encouraged by them or encouraging them. And this is what a real faithful person will do. They come not necessarily because it's commanded or out of, and then certainly not because of an obligation, but because they love God. And again, they want to be around their people. However, someone that is weak in their faith, they just won't see the importance of being faithful in their attendance. They won't see the importance of being around their brothers and sisters in Christ. Even though Hebrews 10:25 tells us not to forsake the assembling of the saints, because they just simply are not committed to being faithful in their attendance. You know, there are more questions I could ask, but these are enough to give you a general idea of how strong your faith in God is. And I hope this lesson this evening has opened up your eyes as you examine yourself to see whether or not how strong you are in your faith. If you see that you're not as strong as you should be, or if you're a little bit weak in your faith, then why not start making the change in your life? Start trying to recommit yourself to God. Start doing your best to try to serve Him. Remember, He doesn't expect us to do beyond what we're capable of doing. He just expects us to do what we can. And so I hope that you will be encouraged to do this. And I hope that you will remember to test yourselves. Sometimes it's necessary to do this on a daily basis to make sure that you're going down the right path. So let us never forget to continue to grow in our faith in God. That brings us to the end of our lesson. If there's anyone here this evening that maybe you're struggling with your faith, or maybe you have something that you need prayers from the congregation, or if you're here this evening and you've never become a child of God, as you can see, that you must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You also must repent. Turn your life over to Him. Start living your life by His Word. And you must confess Jesus as your Lord. And as Ananias told Paul, he told him to rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, in Acts 22 and verse 16. And so at the point of baptism is when we accept God's saving grace and when our sins are forgiven. So if anybody here would like to become a child of God, or if we can serve anybody in any way, please come forward as we stand and sing our invitation song.